We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From Metal Shop. As you may have guessed, I wanted to pop on here real quick and make an important dedication tonight. Now, this is really never an easy thing to do, but this one is especially hard. This past Wednesday, we lost Trevor Sternad, the vocalist of the Black Dahlia Murder, at the young age of 41. The band broke the news Wednesday afternoon with a heartfelt message, followed by a link to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 800-273-8255. Trevor Sternad was a force in the world of underground heavy metal and was, as the band described, a walking encyclopedia of metal. Trevor was always such a champion of the underground scene and used his huge platform as vocalist for the Black Dahlia Murder, one of the biggest bands in metal, to spread the word and preach the gospel of heavy music. He was feverishly passionate about extreme music, and it was nothing short of infectious. The rock and roll and metal world is grieving as Trevor Sternad leaves us with so many memories and so many smiles and so many good times and so many killer songs and killer albums. We need to understand that mental health awareness is more important than ever, especially considering the last 2 years we've been through together. At the end of their message on social media, the Black Dahlia Murder gave the number to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And I'd like to share that again with you now. So if you or someone you know is in a crisis, call 800-273-8255 or visit imlistening.org. Again, this is dedicated to the memory, the music, and the life of Trevor Sternad. Typically on Fridays, I post an interview on this feed right here, Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. And this week, I was ready to go with my interview with Code Orange. We're going to have to wait a week because I decided to just drop that plan and put together this special tribute show to Trevor Sternad. Now, I have a few messages and memories from fans that I compiled from Twitter on at Metal Shop KISW. I chatted with a couple listeners and friends. And at the end, we're going to cap things off with an interview that I actually conducted with Trevor Sternad right in the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, right as the band was releasing the amazing album Verminous. Seriously, go back, revisit that album. Incredible album. They had to drop off their tour with Testament due to the lockdown. And what you're going to actually hear is an incredibly passionate music lover. You'll hear it just emanating from him, man. Someone who exuded pure love of all things metal and took every given opportunity to geek out about it. This morning, I was thinking about all the times I've seen the Black Dahlia Murder, and it was so many more than I can count. The first time I saw them was alongside Terror and Unearth back in 2004 or 2005. Can't quite remember the year, but I went and saw the Seattle show, And then we actually traveled down to Portland and saw the show the night after. And the last time I saw them was in 2021, and it was actually my first show back from lockdown. So imagine that, not seeing anyone for like a year and a half, not seeing any live music, and the first show I come back is a packed, jam-packed, sold-out El Corazon, and it is this lineup: Rivers of Nile, Carnifex, and Undeath and Black Dahlia Murder. And it was incredible, man. There was so much energy and excitement and just smiles on people's faces as they were getting back into this thing that they love, metal. The Black Dahlia Murder played an incredible set, as always. And unfortunately, that will be the last time I see Trevor Sternad live. Recently, I've enjoyed watching a new YouTube series called Symposium of Sickness, where Trevor Sternad joined forces with a homie of mine named Shuler Benson, aka Death Metal Radio on Twitter, and a guy named Patrick Bruss from a band called Crypticus. They got super nerdy and dissected the intricacies and minutiae of all things death metal. Their most recent episode was on the band Vader, and this podcast, YouTube show, it was the perfect listen for a nerd like me who wanted to find out more and more and more about all these bands, and these were the perfect three guys to hear about it from. I was loving every minute of it. So it's only fitting then that I start this tribute to Trevor Sternad off with his co-host of Symposium of Sickness, Mr. Shuler Benson, aka Death Metal Radio. So take it away, Shuler.
What's up, Metal Shop? It's Shuler from Death Metal Radio. Death Metal lost an icon this week, man. Most of us knew Trevor Sternad as the singer of the Black Dahlia Murder, and if that's how you knew him, you know it's what he was born to do. The Black Dahlia Murder is a killer death metal band by any standard. And while the instrumentation is legendary, what Trevor brought to the band was more than just this dynamic dual vocal delivery and this endlessly energetic live show. His lyrics were magical. He was a gifted writer and storyteller. And while the talent came from him, the tools that he worked with came from his heroes. Part of what made Trevor stand out as an artist was how open and enthusiastic he was about the music that influenced him. And that same enthusiasm also made him one of death metal's most visible emissaries, one of our most vocal advocates. You know, the dude was always repping a shirt, always plugging young bands. He would lend his voice to just about anybody that asked. And he always took time to, like, nerd out on other bands with fans of his band, you know? He truly made you feel like a friend. I was a huge fan of his work since 2003, and in the last year I've been lucky enough to become his friend and share some great conversations about this music that we love so much with him and with Patrick from Crypticus. For those of us who are hurting right now, I think that's one of the best things that we can do to make ourselves feel better and to honor his legacy. Listen to his music, share his music, but extend that same passion into talking about other music. Try and influence somebody else the way he influenced you. That's true immortality. When what you leave behind after you're gone isn't just stuff, but the people that you changed. I want to try and be like that. Thank you, Trevor. We love you.
Back here with Kevin Deers on Metal Shop Backstage Pass, and I wanted to share a couple tweets directed at Metal Shop KISW. They were in reference to, you know, favorite memories of Trevor and of Black Dahlia Murder. And Rick Sanderson said, the first time I heard them was listening to Miasma on a Sounds of the Underground CD. I was a new metal kid at the time, and Black Dahlia Murder opened my eyes to death metal. They've been my favorite band since. I thought they had two vocalists at first, LOL. Trevor Sternad had such amazing range. That's absolutely true.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Films versus video. Wally Balls, apparently, on Twitter said, "First time I saw the Black Dahlia murder, they played El Corazon with Cannibal Corpse and wore Hawaiian shirts during their set. Longtime fan since Unhallowed saw Hypocrisy last night at Club Sur, and they blasted Black Dahlia murder as I got into the venue. What a trip." Just a couple quick messages from Metal Shop listeners. We appreciate all of the input, and we appreciate all the memories with Trevor Sternad. Now, one person I thought of today when I was thinking about, you know, the Black Dahlia murder and Trevor is a guy named Johnny Myrick. He's a local musician here in the Northwest. He plays in so many bands. This guy is extremely passionate about heavy music. He plays drums in Toxic Rain, Hellas, Fishy Mushroom, Ghost Blood, and he is a diehard Black Dahlia Murder fan. I mean, when Black Dahlia Murder would come out with an album, he'd get the deluxe, deluxe, deluxe package. He'd get every single merchandise item he could and rep it very, very proudly. His main picture on Facebook is a picture with Trevor, and he's just a diehard Black Dahlia fan. So I reach out to Johnny to get some words about Trevor, about how he's feeling right now, and I let him speak his mind about what he's going through right now and chat a little bit about Black Dahlia murder and about his history with Trevor.
Hi, this is Johnny Myrick, and I really just want to take a few minutes to talk about Trevor Sternad and the impact that him and his music had on me personally. For me, the Black Dahlia murder was one of the very first death metal bands that I really gravitated to, and it really helped create my love for harder, more extreme music. I remember What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse got released as DLC on Rock Band 2, and at the time it was the hardest song in the game on every instrument. And since it was my first time listening to death metal, didn't understand a single word the dude was saying, but I loved the music. So I remember for my birthday that year, I got a bunch of birthday money and I wanted to buy music because I'd just gotten into metal. I just got into punk. I just got into all of it. And first thing I did when I walked into that store was look for Nocturnal, because I wanted to know what the hell he was saying in What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse. And reading those liner notes for the first time was amazing. I mean, the man was the Stanley Kubrick of death metal lyrics. He was fantastic at not just telling you a story, but showing it to you. And to me, that's when I knew that the Black Dahlia murder was going to be an extremely special band to me, but I certainly didn't know that they would be my favorite band of all time. Besides the amazing music that he left for us, he also spent so much time showing support to other bands and giving them an audience. And if you follow him on Twitter, or you followed Metal Injection or Metal Sucks or any of those types of news sites, they'd talk about Trevor constantly, and he always had some band to tell you about. And I can tell you that he made it so that I had a whole bunch of bands that I'd never heard of exposed to me. And that was always something to look forward to. And it was something that I absolutely admire about him, that he'd be so willing to share so many other people's music in front of his audience. Whether they liked it or not, he liked it, and that's all he cared about. He was like, hey, this band is awesome. You should check them out. Go and do that. It's going to be weird not seeing that from him anymore. Because he was an absolute pillar to the metal community for so many years. And it sucks knowing that he's no longer with us. When I think about Trevor, there's a phrase that comes to mind, and it's spread riffs, not hate. Because that's what he would do every day. And I never saw him be problematic in the slightest any single time. And he certainly never seemed like he had any sort of ego about him. I only got to meet him one time at Summer Slaughter Tour 2017, where they played Nocturnal front to back. That was the first and only time that I got to meet Trevor. But, you know, thankfully it wasn't the only time that I got to see the Black Dahlia Murder, because something about that guy, every single time he was on stage, he had my undivided attention and all of my energy. He just absolutely made me want to go harder than I've ever gone before. And it sucks, because I was really looking forward to next time I get to see them. Next time I get to see Trev do what he does. Yeah, it's selfish, but as a fan, you know, that's what you end up missing the most. You end up missing new music. You end up missing getting to see that person live. And, you know, I know that it's selfish, but he wasn't my friend. You know, I didn't get to know him like that. I was lucky to get to talk to him on social media sometimes, very rarely, you know, wasn't bugging the dude, but sometimes I'd post something on Twitter and, you know, he'd respond or he'd repost it or something. And that was always awesome. That always just absolutely made my day. And it just sucks, because metal and, I mean, just the world in general needs more Trevors. We need more people out there who are just down to make awesome art, have a good time, and put other people's art out in front of their audience the same way that he did. It's a hard time out there for a lot of us, because so many people look up to Trevor, and knowing that he's gone, it just sucks, man. One last thing that I want to say is, please check in on your loved ones. Please let them know that you love them, because depression is real. And just like any other illness out there, you either beat it or it beats you. It's a very real thing, and I guarantee you that the world is a better place with you in it. I know it's easier said than done, but if you need help, please seek it out. I'm sure you have loved ones that are more than happy to do their best. And there are a lot of resources out there that you can turn to. I know that it's easier said than done, because a lot of the times we start to feel like this, and we start to feel like we don't deserve the help. But that's not true. And if there's someone that you love and care about that you haven't talked to in a little bit, reach out to them, because you never know. You just never know.
Man, that was honest. That was real. And that was heavy. But we're going to switch things up a bit, and I'm going to now end this episode with the man himself. This is an interview that I conducted with Trevor Sternad in 2020, right as the pandemic was starting and Verminous was being released via Metal Blade Records. They had to drop off their tour with Testament, which is a huge bummer. No, they were really looking forward to that. I was looking forward to seeing Black Dahlia with Testament. That was going to be like the biggest tour they had been on. At least that's what Trevor was saying in this interview. So this is just an opportunity for us to listen to Trevor. And I just want to celebrate the guy, celebrate his wit, his humor, his love of metal, and all things Trevor Sternad. So without any further ado, thank you so much for listening to this special tribute to Trevor Sternad. R.I.P. Trevor Sternad. Listen to some Black Dahlia murder today. And here's my interview with Trevor Sternad from 2020. R.I.P. Trevor.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. I'm recording from home. It is on lockdown here in Washington State. So I'm talking to Trevor Sternad from Black Dahlia Murder. Their new record, Verminous, is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. It's their ninth album on Metal Blade. We've been playing the singles from it. Very much looking forward to the record. But first off, where are you calling from? And are you pretty much just staying inside?
Yeah, I am locked down in Brooklyn, New York. I've been living out here for the last 2 years, and it was shut down before I even came back from South Africa. So this is probably my 10th day on lockdown, but the people here have been locked down a little bit longer.
So, Trevor, how are you holding up, man? And how are you staying busy? And like, are you getting stir crazy?
A little bit, but I mean, I'm kind of a homebody when I'm at home from tour anyway. I kind of get my fill of human interaction out on tour.
Sure.
And so it's not entirely too different from what I would normally do, you know, hanging out in my pajama pants, listening to lots of music.
Yep.
Doing lots of press right now, which has been a good kind of a good problem to have, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the impending record release. And yeah, man, just kind of sitting here waiting, dude. It's pretty obvious that our tour with Testament is about to be thwarted by this.
Sure.
I mean, guys in the band have it.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate. You know, I'm pulling for Chuck. It seems like he's on the up now.
Good.
According to Metal Press. But yeah, you know, that's obviously going to get nixed here pretty soon, which is a huge bummer. I mean, that was like going to be a big chunk of our income for the year.
And
probably the biggest tour we've ever been afforded, you know. So it's a little bit sad, but you know, everybody's going through this right now, and just got to kind of keep it positive. And, you know, I'm just focusing on the record release, and everything seems to be online with that, and pre-orders are flying, and people are seeming to like it so far. So, you know, I'm just kind of staying with that excitement.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you mentioned some definite bummer news there, but like, there's so much bummer news and coming from everyone, and it's and not to downplay what you're going through or what my friends are going through, but it's, there's almost a sense of community coming from like, hey man, like seriously, like this it's almost a better feeling knowing that everyone's going through some now, and it's not just us. It's not just me or you.
It's kind of like leveled the playing field in a way. You know what I mean? Everybody's suffering right now. Everybody is going through this. So, yeah, it's just interesting times. You know, never dealt with anything like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's just it's interesting. And they started with a 2-week lockdown, but it's been like, I think that was just to ease us all into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, then it's going to be it's going to get interesting a month from now, I think.
I think so too, man. And all we can do is just kind of try to, and that's what I'm doing, man. I'm doing a lot more interviews and a lot more podcasts. I actually just started doing some video interviews on YouTube just to keep myself busy and also just try to create some content because people, you know, want something to, I mean, obviously, you know, we want to find out the news. We want to keep, in the know about things. But at the same time, sometimes you need some distractions, some positive things to look into, you know, and...
For sure. I think everybody is looking for that distraction right now. So as far as like the timing of our record release,
I know
it's bad to be coming out during the pandemic. I think that people will be locked down the first week of the release. So that's kind of going to take a hit for that. But at the same time, it's nice to be releasing something that people will have, you know, that hopefully lift their spirits a little bit, mm-hmm. and they'll have plenty of time to dissect it, you know, so that's a good thing. And yeah. Also, you know, we filmed so much content yep. and stuff like beforehand, just for the timeliness of the release. But now, like, you know, people need content. So
oh, yeah.
It's a good, you know, it's working out a little bit.
Man, so the album coming out during this crazy time, this is not going to be an album you forget about. Like, not saying that like the album, you know, is forgettable in any way, but this is just going to put that extra little thing like, hey, remember when we released that record, our 9th album, and the entire world was
yeah, and we had songs about a plague ending the world on the record, and just, God. You know, the whole concept of, like, the vermin carrying the plague. And, you know, a year and a half ago when we were tracking this album, we had no idea, mm-hmm. obviously, that this was going to be so, like, timely. But, yeah, they definitely won't forget this record, that's for sure.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the record here in a second, but as far as just some things maybe you would suggest, like, or some things that are keeping you sane as far as, like, have there been any shows you've been deep diving or movies that you've kind of put on to forget about some craziness? What would you suggest for people?
Well, I think everybody has seen Game of Thrones except me, but that's what I've been doing lately, just like bulldozing through it.
Nice.
And I remember like when it came out, I took one look at it and I was like, no thanks, this isn't gonna work for me. But once I dove in, like it's as good as everyone said. It's definitely been a fun ride, and definitely kicks a lot of my D&D boxes from back in the day. You know, so that's exciting. But just been playing a lot of video games and listening to a lot of music, and I'm conspiring to maybe do some streaming of said video games.
Ooh.
That would be something to like pass the time and maybe have a little bit of income trickling in, which would be nice.
Dude, yeah, hell yeah.
It's something I've been putting off for a while, and like I have the camera for it and everything. Mm-hmm. Just gotta kinda like figure out how to do it. But that seems like a good use of time, and
there's literally no excuse at this point. There's no excuse to say like, hey, I don't have the time. Nope, motherfucker, the time.
yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt.
So the record of Verminous is coming out April 17th. I wanted to ask a couple questions about the record. So going into the album, it being your 9th, did you guys have any different approach, or did you want to tweak anything, or how do you guys go into, you know, because you guys have been a long and time-tested band. How do you guys approach writing a brand new album?
Honestly, nothing really deviated from the norm, you know. We just kind of started writing songs and passing them through the emails and stuff. But, you know, I think that there's been like an overarching effort to make a more various album, which this definitely is. I think this is the most variety we've ever seen on a record.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the ambition has been slowly creeping in to do that. And, you know, I feel like we kind of started a new era with Nightbringers and having Brandon Ellis come into the fold.
Totally.
As a songwriter.
Yeah.
And, he's definitely like, you know, he left quite a stamp on that record, but he definitely like has spread his wings in the band here. So, you know, like one thing I noticed right away was that there was a lot more variety. You know, we're trying new things, like mining from different corners of the metal spectrum, you know,
sure.
a bit more from like classic heavy metal, a new wave of British heavy metal.
Hell yeah.
There's a song on there, Feast of the Wereworm, that's pretty King Diamond influenced, which is
yeah.
different for us.
Yeah.
So Yeah, you know, it feels like we didn't really plan it, but it seems like a bigger evolutionary jump than we would normally take between two records. You know, I feel like it was really ambitious this time around. And in that way, it made it hard to choose the singles, because the singles, like, especially the first one we put out, Verminous, that's probably the most straightforward, most like typical Black Dahlia song on the record.
Okay.
But it was hard to select the singles, because you can't really like summarize the record with them, because it's just so, they're so vastly different, you know, all the songs. So, but yeah, man, you know, there's always this selfish need to like be more creative and more technical,
yeah,
in our playing and songwriting chops, you know, like, it feels like every record we write is harder to play than the last.
Oh no.
You know what I mean? But it's kind of like, it's a good problem. It feels really rewarding when you get up on stage and,
yeah,
you play through a more complex song and a more texturous, more, you know, emotive song. And that's kind of what we've been going for, instead of just trying to be the most extreme version of the band we can be, but just trying to make songs that really last and that are really anthemic and more emotive, you know. And I feel like we've been too aggressive at times and too technical.
Huh, okay.
And we've made records that just came out like a barrage, you know, where it's just too many songs in the red at all times.
Sure.
And that can become kind of static, I think, you know, like, it's just, I have a million records in my collection that are too extreme to make it through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's definitely a problem. So we tried to be as colorful as we could and as creative. And yeah, man, you know, I feel like we covered some new ground on this record, but also it's part of the plan to always be recognizable as Black Dahlia from the first notes, you know? So it's kind of a interesting line to straddle.
You want to deviate a bit, but you don't want to, like, you know, leave your fans kind of like hanging, like, hey, what, this is where's the Black Dahlia I loved?
Right. Yeah. Deviate, but not alienate, you know?
And that's a good way to put it.
And I feel like, I think we all, you know, feel like we've known the formula for a Black Dahlia song for a long time, but it's really just in the minutia, in the small choices and details that you can make during songwriting, and that make the songs better, you know, some better than others. So, you know, we've just been learning with age and experience. And, you know, I don't feel like this is a record that we could have made 10 years ago. You know, there's, it's definitely, more informed, musically. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see what people think about it.
Dude, it's something I'm actually anxious to see. I haven't seen any of them physically, but I saw the pre-order packages for the D&D, kind of D&D-influenced Black Dahlia Murder pre-order package. So I am not a D&D guy personally. My neighbors and my roommates play it. It looks really fascinating. I've never done the deep dive on it. But fill me in, how exactly do you guys have a Black Dahlia Murder game?
It's a one-off adventure for D&D for 5th edition, and it's basically themed around the album's artwork and some lyrical themes.
Awesome.
And yeah, you know, we've been flirting with the idea of like a role-playing kit for a long time, mm-hmm, for a pre-order, like, but it only started as like dice and a dice bag and like a Dungeon Master screen. But this time, our merch guru, Kareem Peter, who runs Night Shift Merch, our merch, yeah, company.
Yep.
And he's a long time, like kind of like sixth member of the band, I would say. He used to be our tour manager for about 10 years. And, you know, he's a really close confidant of the band. And he's like, yo, man, let's do that role playing thing, but let's like take it up a notch. Let's have an adventure made, you know?
Oh, absolutely, so, dude.
So we contacted some people that we knew. Dungeon Punks wrote it, and Nerdgore illustrated it, so it has its own like individual artwork for it.
So cool.
And yeah, it came out really cool. And you know, there's a big crossover for metal is a nerdy music, you,
yeah,
know what I mean,
and sure.
D&D is definitely nerdy, so there's a big crossover there, and there's been a lot of excitement out of the gate about it, and it's definitely helped the pre-order pick up some steam.
That's awesome.
And that's your only hope now. I mean, it's hard to convince people to buy a physical copy when, you know, streams are just readily available. And so, you know, it's, you got to be creative with this kind of thing. And for us this time, it was the D&D adventure and the slime filled vinyls that we did. And it was so a very awesome. Limited amount of slime filled vinyls because they were insanely painstaking to make and very expensive. But, you know, there was only 50 available to the public. So we knew we were going to be pissing people off right out of the gate. You know, that was kind of like, it was kind of bittersweet to, yeah. to do that. But also just that they existed made such a big stink in the and metal news and media and stuff that like that kind of helped with the pre-orders, too. So, yeah, we definitely got lucky this time to kind of like hone in on a couple good ideas and see them into fruition, you know.
Dude, that's so killer. And you know, I caught something you said there about how hard it is to get people to buy physical copies while streams are readily available. And you, I follow you on social media and some of the articles you write. And you are someone who still loves buying physical, like CDs specifically of metal bands. What makes you want to continue to just like be the physical copy guy and have like a huge CD collection?
It's just what I know. It's just what I like, you know, the collectability kind of is an aspect of appeal for me. You know, I'm just staying the course from what I've always known pretty much.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like I still use streaming services like at times. They're very convenient, very easy. And especially for playing for me, like I don't have a music collection outside of metal, you know, a physical collection. So,
for sure.
But I like all kinds of music, but you know, metal and buying metal records is where my heart lies, you know. So I try to kind of like set an example with my columns and stuff, and in hopes that people will pick up physical copies. And you know, especially on the small scale that these death metal bands are working, you know, these smaller labels and stuff, like one physical copy like it's felt by the band, you know what I mean? Like it's not just like a faceless thing. Like these bands are small, and like, you know, just word of mouth is like the best kind of power that metal has, I feel like, still. So for me, as you know, streaming is to check things out, and but I'm feeling obligated to buy things and, you know, support bands through those avenues. And yeah, you know, I just think that there's a real collecting culture in death metal and in the underground, you know, and then that's just part of that whole like nerdy appeal of it.
Absolutely, man. And that's one thing about metalheads too, is it seems like metalheads and metal fans and even fans of like punk, hardcore, more underground, aggressive music are more likely to purchase music and more likely to go out and actually support the artists that they see at, you know, whether it be a venue like El Corazon or a venue like a VFW hall, you know, they see the
right
and they have that connection. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, that's why you have, you know, a band like Power Trip, which is huge in our scene, that like they don't have that many streams because their culture is for people that buy records, you know what I mean?
Totally.
People that like support physical copies and actually go out to shows and stuff. So, you know, streams aren't everything. You can't judge every band's worth just on their streams, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good point. And I wanted to know about so you do write these articles and you get a lot of bands, specifically a band from Seattle that I saw on your Oxygen Destroyer. Freaking awesome band. You're an outspoken supporter of these underground metal bands through your columns and through, you know, just your platform that you have being in a very popular metal band. What are some new bands you think that we should get on our radar? Maybe just a couple that you've been jamming.
I would recommend everything that's coming out on Maggot Stomp Records.
Yeah.
Really like Maggot Stomp. Frozen Soul is awesome. Mortal Wound is probably my favorite of the bunch. But yeah, it's like they're one of those labels right now that everything they put out is just like an automatic buy. You know
nice,
what I mean?
Dude.
And what else? Temple of Void. I mean, they're not exactly new now, but
sure.
I feel like they don't get enough love. They're from Detroit, where we're from, and they play like old school death doom, like early Paradise Lost,
hell yeah,
kind of stuff. And their new record just dropped, "The World That Was," on Shadow Kingdom Records, and that's going to make some waves, man. So definitely recommend getting on that. ahead of the curve. And let me think, what else? I just picked up the new Molested Divinity album.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
In brutal circles, like, they're definitely, like, gaining a lot of ground, and they have the singer from Cenotaph from Turkey. Turkish band.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very brutal, very guttural,
yeah,
you know, very fast. Highly recommend that one.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Nice, dude. So if you, you know, and it doesn't have to be new bands, it could just be like all-time favorites or just some stuff you would try to jam, man. If you hosted your own radio show, say you took the place of Metal Shop for a night, what would you play, dude?
Play some Autopsy.
Yeah.
Mental Funeral is one of my favorite death metal records. Grave, definitely. Hating Life is like a really underrated record from them. I think people kind of that record when it came out, but it's definitely awesome. A lot of lyrical influence for me from that album.
Okay.
There was some necrophilia themes, but it wasn't just like, it was more like this love beyond the grave and like a relationship that went beyond the grave.
Romantic.
Kind of like, yeah. That really kind of like left a mark on me, just how the romance of it and the kind of creepiness of it that made it seem more real, you know what I mean, than your standard necrophilia trope. So that definitely left a mark on me, and I've done a lot of necrophilia songs with Black Dahlia, obviously, and,
yeah,
but yeah, Grave, Hating Life, very cool record. What else? Lots of old thrash stuff. I've been kind of like mining thrash history the last couple years.
Cool.
There's just so many like great albums that were glossed over, and it was such a like overcrowded genre at the time. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like just so many albums came out, and a lot of which weren't on my radar, but Zentrix from the UK has been getting a lot of airtime for me. The album Shattered Existence. It's very like Bay Area thrash influenced, very Metallica-esque.
Yeah.
But, you know, the songs are really strong and very catchy stuff. But, yeah, man, you know, I've been making some playlists and you know, I'm going to put them out there to the world, try to entertain some people for a while, hopefully with it. But, I could definitely get into, being a DJ of sorts on, you know, on the air. That'd be awesome.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I mean, you're busy enough, but you know, if you ever think about a second little day gig, you know, that, or night gig, actually, rather, no one's playing metal during the day on radio stations.
right.
But
I have a Gimme Radio takeover coming in the pretty soon.
Yeah,
like lined up with the album coming out, and I put some real hits on that one.
Hell yeah, man. All right, well, let's think here about like going back in the Trevor memory banks. What was the first CD, tape, vinyl, first physical piece of music that you ever purchased on your own with your own money, not given to you by like a cool older brother or your mom or something? What was the first album you ever went and bought on your own?
Ooh, man, it has to be something really funny, like Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff,
okay.
Summertime,
yeah.
That record, the one with Summertime on it, or it might have been TLC, the first TLC album.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, on the TLC tip.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. And or it might have been another Bad Creation. You know, I was definitely, like, taping all of these songs off the radio at the time, and you know, my first metal records were, I think Countdown to Extinction was probably the first CD that I ever bought with my money.
Yeah.
But I was kind of coming in right at the end of tapes and the segue into CDs, you know? But that's the record that like blew the whole metal world open for me and kind of made me realize that metal was my thing and there were other people out there like me. And, you know, I felt kind of like an alien before that, you know, the world of sports didn't really have much appeal to me, and just the other things that seemed to excite people just didn't work for me. So the day of sixth grade, when I came home and saw the Symphony of Destruction video, it definitely changed my life.
That's awesome, man. And dude, that band is still going strong, and Dave Mustaine beating cancer, freaking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. That's great.
What we know about the first album now, what's the last album you purchased?
Twitch of the Death Nerve. I'm looking at the CD right now.
Cool.
It's on Comatose Music.
Yeah.
The album is A Resting Place for the Wrathful. And it's very guttural, brutal death metal from the UK. Highly recommended if you like it gross.
Nice, and I do like it gross. All right, Trevor. So your vocals, I mean, you just have so much character, and like you can immediately just be like, oh, that's Trevor from Black Dahlia. What were some of your vocal influences like growing up? You know, when you were gonna start a band or you were getting into death metal, who were some of your favorite vocalists that inspired your style?
Definitely Carcass is like the biggest influence on me. And, it was the earlier records where they had two vocalists and the interplay between the high voice and the low voice, mm-hmm. you know? So I really liked that approach and the layering thereof, you know, a high and a low together. It makes that kind of like deicide-y kind of thing going on.
Totally.
And, that just, I thought that was so gross and so like, so different, you know. And so when we started the band, I was trying to do the two different voices, and I remember like recording the first demo and like doing those layering tricks and just thinking, wow, this is so cool, hell yeah, you know. But another big influence is Ben Falghost from Soylent Green.
Yes.
He's one of the best frontmen out there. And while we were recording that same demo in 2001, mm-hmm. We went to a show in Detroit after the session, and it was Immolation headlining, and Goat Horror was direct support.
That's awesome.
And just seeing the way he performed and like kind of spoke with his hands, and like this was like so expressive with his body up there.
Yeah.
And it really like affected me and like started the whole like singing with the claw thing, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? And kind of like the whole gremlin-esque stance of it. And yeah, you know, and he's also one of those multifaceted vocalists with a, you know, multiple voices. He's got the low and the high, and he's also just a really inspiring dude. You know, he's a really positive force in the scene. And man, we've toured with him and his bands like so many times, and I don't think I've ever seen him play a bad show.
Nice.
Or be in a bad mood. Like, the guy is just, you can't stop him, man. You know, he endured those accidents where the Soylent crashed their van, and mm-hmm. he had to get surgery on his feet, and on his they had to like take a piece of his stomach and put it on his foot, like to like graft it on. So, I mean, he's been through a lot, and, you know, he recorded the second Goat Horror album, like, sitting in a wheelchair, basically.
Wow.
You know, and, like, you just can't stop the guy. Like, nothing can stop him, you know? So he's just, like, I don't know. He's a hero to me, for sure.
Dude, that's awesome. And you guys are label mates, and like you said, you've toured a lot. That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, I've made no bones about it to him, you know? I tell him that he's the man.
Well, you talked about the claw that you have on stage and kind of that gremlin stance that you mentioned. Have you ever had any like really gnarly, kind of like cringy, embarrassing moments on stage? And if so, like, is there anything that stands out?
There's all kinds of stuff, man. There's there's a show in Arizona where we were playing a very small venue with Gate Creeper.
Nice.
And
yeah.
This girl was there, and she was terrorizing me. Like, she pantsed me, like, pulled down my shorts in front of everyone, and my little weenie went flapping.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she just kept me and, like swatting the mic out of my hands and, like, just, like... Like, she knew that I wasn't going to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
It was such a weird dynamic. It was awful. At the end of the set, I went up to her. I was like, yep, I hate you. But there's another time that popped into my mind where we're at this outdoor festival in Europe, and we're about to go on, and it's starting to rain. And Walls of Jericho is there waiting in the wings, kind of like checking us out. And they're local. They're like local heroes to us. You know, when we were kids, they were in this band Earth Mover.
Oh, that band kicks ass,
kings,
dude.
Yeah, man. And they were the kings, you know, of being in Detroit.
Yep.
And we recorded with Mike from Walls, like, our first record on Hollowed. So we're like, all right, cool. Here's our chance to like show them what we've been up to, you know, and like really rock them out and like, impress the older generation. And first note to the set, I get up there, step in this big puddle, and go like feet overhead, like completely just wipe out and knock the wind out of myself, like the first moment of the set.
Oh,
and I just remember like, of course, right now, you know.
Wow. Well, that's certainly a couple different, you know, looking. That's certainly answered my question, dude. Thank you. All right, man. So just a couple more questions. We're talking with Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Their new record, Verminous, is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. All right. So we all know the big four of Thrash, Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth. For you, Trevor, you're a huge death metal head. What are your big four of death metal?
Ooh, man, this is going to be hard. Like a bunch of bands pop immediately into my mind. Suffocation for sure. Piercing Within was my first death metal record ever.
That's my favorite.
It's so good. So good. Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
This is hard. Obituary.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Love them. Love Cause of Death the most. And, I guess Autopsy will have to be the fourth one.
All right, man.
And, I feel like they're the more underrated of the four mentioned, you know?
Yeah.
But, I think since they reformed, they've been picking up a lot of steam and like, you know, the records they made in the early days were just classic, man. Just classic, like doomed out, just slow, diseased death metal. Highly recommended.
And, you know, I don't ask like, you know, altogether like the big four. I just ask like, what's your personal big four? So I like you answer that with, your personal favorites. So,
but then I didn't say Carcass too, so like I'm already blasphemy, you know. Like it's so it's just four is just not enough.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then that's with Thrash too. Like you can't say big four and then be like, well, what about Exodus? What about Testament? What about Overkill? What about Death Angel? So.
Right. Yeah.
There was always got to be more than four. All right, Trevor. So. After all this, you know, this mess subsides and hopefully we're on the other side of it. And whenever that time frame is, in your opinion, how will the world change in a positive way coming out of this? What are some positive side effects that you could see possibly coming out of this?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to lead to some kind of change with the healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people are really going to realize how much we need to like eliminate healthcare as a business. You know what I mean? As like a money making scheme,
sure,
like really get something in place. But you know, I hope that that people are communicating. I hope that it kind of brings us together in a way. You know, it seems like you said earlier, like it seems to be working in that regard. You know, but and I you know I just hope that that when we come out on the other side of this, that that we're all stronger for it. You know.
Absolutely, man. And I think there's a good chance we will be. And we'll all certainly, if we're safe to go to concerts, I think we'll all like really, really appreciate even a band that we don't even like. We'll be like, yes, music. I don't even like this band.
I didn't quite really think about that. But yeah, people are going to be extra excited to go back to concerts. And you know, maybe less people will be taking us for granted out there, you know, like. Spending all our time driving around in vans and stuff, you know?
Totally, man. We'll all be like, I saw like a meme that was like, hey, hello. It was like, dear rock gods, please, if you give us concerts back, we promise not to be on our cell phones the whole time.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So there's a we're a barrage with like bad news, and it's hard to be in that constant like feedback cycle. But so just personally, I like to ask some people that I've been speaking with lately within the last couple of weeks. Trevor, what are a couple things that you're personally grateful for?
Ah, man, just I mean, I'm grateful for this entire experience of the Black Dahlia murder. Yeah, having growing success over the years and surviving different trends in heavy music, mm-hmm. and still being here coming up on 20 years, you know? So it's like my dream is still unfolding.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't just end. But, you know, being in a band and is something that you have to like constantly maintain, you know, as a like doing it as a career. There's no like, no stopping in sight ever, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like married to the road. But yeah, just I'm so thankful for that this is my life and to have so many great fans and to have a voice in the metal scene and to help other bands out. And, you know, it's just definitely, you know, this is definitely a good time to reflect on the good things.
Absolutely, man. And there is a lot of good things. You know, they might be kind of buried sometimes within the headlines, but there are a lot of really good things. And you guys are an incredible band. And one question we like to ask every artist that we get on the phone with, it's kind of a weird one, but if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, Trevor.
Ooh, I have a scar on my pubis.
Uh-oh.
From a hernia operation.
Oh.
And I got the hernia at band practice. I remember the exact moment, like feeling it pop, like during a scream.
Oh my God.
So it definitely sucks. The surgery sucked. I mean, people have been through a lot worse hernias than I have,
sure.
But you can't sit up the first day. It feels like you did 3 billion like sit ups or crunches.
Yeah.
Like you have to like roll out of bed to do anything, and it's pretty miserable. But that definitely, you know, had me reassessing my approach to vocals and, you know, finding avenues that were more educated so I wouldn't, you know, do it again.
Don't burst your pubis on us, dude.
Yeah. My pubis is such a great word, right?
Right. We were just talking with Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Verminous is coming out April 17th on Metal Blade Records. You can pre-order it. Make sure next time they come through town, who knows? We're on a weird time frame here in the world, as we all are. But, you know, next time they come through town, pick up the album, pick up a T-shirt. I know that, like, underground metal bands, certainly you can use the support. Is there anything you want to say to the Northwest audience ahead of this record or... while we have you here for you.
Yeah, thanks to anybody that's going the extra mile and pre-ordering the album. It means a lot to us. And we are assembling a tour for the fall.
Nice.
Right now across the U.S., a headliner, in hopes that this will all be blown over by then.
Mm-hmm.
So people will get their chance to see us and hear the new tunes.
Yeah.
And so far, the package is really, really awesome. It's going to be a very big tour, but I can't really reveal too much about that at this point, as you imagine. But
yeah, man.
We'll see you all soon, man, once we weather the storm.
Hell yeah, man. Trevor, thank you so much, dude.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's been fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.